privilege to be able to bring God's Word to you this morning. And thank you for praying for Providence BP Church. And likewise, we will continue to pray for Hope BP Church and for God's guidance for the future. Our focus today will be on how we should include God in our life through all the changing scenes of life. Dearly beloved, do you know that God is deeply interested in every detail of your life? David expressed this truth in a psalm that we just read in verses 1 to 4. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising, and thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest altogether. David says that God is deeply interested in him, and he searches him. The word search carries the meaning of examining intimately. Whether David is awake or asleep, God knows that what he's thinking and knows what he does. And every word that David says, or before he even says it, is known by God. Then the psalmist asks a series of hypothetical questions in verses 7 through 10. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, if I make my bed in hell, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. He made these hypothetical questions. He couldn't actually do it, but he's asking hypothetically. So hypothetically, he said, even if he would run away from God, whether to heaven or to hell or to the end of the sea, God is there. And he certainly reminds us of Jonah the prophet. When he tries to run away from God and takes a ship to the west, to the modern-day Spain, the Lord sent a storm to stop him and a big fish to swallow him up and to rescue him. The point is, wherever you go, whatever you do, God will be there for you. Therefore, you need to learn to, first of all, to rely on him, to rely on God to lead you and to keep you. That's the first point of my message. The second point of message is to trust in God concerning things you do not know. Thirdly, to be convinced that God will do all things well. That's the third point of my message today. So let us consider the first point. Rely on God to lead you and to keep you. Verses 9 to 10. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I want us to pay attention to verses 9 and 10. Firstly, the psalmist is making a hypothetical question, a statement in verse 9, again, as I mentioned. And secondly, he's making a hypothetical conclusion in verse 10, which we have to assume that it will be true. He says in verse 9, even if you could take the wings of the morning and fly away and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, God will be there to lead him and to keep him And the sea here he refers to probably is the Mediterranean seas west to the Palestine, the land of Palestine. He said God will lay him and still will lay him and to hold him. Notice the two verbs in verse 10, to lead and to hold. The psalmist is being pictured as a little child whose hands is being held tightly and securely by God. A father holds a child's hand both to lead him along as well as to hold him so that he will not get hurt or tumbles or falls. Likewise, God leads us alone in the right path as well as to hold us, to protect us from harms and danger. Let us consider God's leading, the first verb in verse 10. In any place or situation we are in, we are to rely fully upon the Lord to lead us. If you believe that God is sovereignly in control in your life, God has already planned out everything, a comprehensive plan for you in your life. As God leads you by His hand through each phase of life, from birth to death, He ordains all circumstances to fall into place in order to fulfill this plan in you. Our responsibility is to determine where the Lord is leading us. Whenever God places us in a new situation, we should ask, Lord, what will you have me to do right now? What is your will for me now? Now, the will of God in this life can be determined through the reading and studying of God's Word. Not through visions and dreams, by the way. The Word of God gives us principles and guidelines for us to determine His will. Let me give you a few examples. For those who are working, God's will for you is revealed in Colossians 3, verses 22-23. It says, servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, from the heart, as unto the Lord, and not unto man. The Word of God tells us that we need to submit to earthly authority, submit to earthly masters, but not as man-pleasers, but ultimately, we are honoring and submitting to the Lord. Not necessarily do it to please your earthly masters. By doing so, we become witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ as we are being seen as diligent, honest, faithful, and trustworthy worker in a company that you work with. For those of you who are married, God's will for you is revealed in Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is a Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So wives, please submit to your own husbands. as long as your husband is not making any decisions that will sin against the Lord. As long as your husband is making decisions within the confine of God's word or scripture teaching, submit to him. Submit to him. If you disagree with the decisions, well, discuss with him sensibly and persuade him with him lovingly and plead unto him gently with all humility. In the final analysis, you have to honor the decision, whatever decision that your husband makes, even if you disagree with him. Husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. Be patient with her and be understanding and compassionate toward her. And be prepared to protect her and to honor her at all cost, even with your life. Literally, literally. Honor her, respect her. Above all, give her your listening ears. Now, wives, love our listening ears. Study shows that men talk only on average 7,000 words a day. And on average, wives, women only talk a little bit more, about 20,000 words a day. But this is what happens. At the end of each day of the long day of work, men have already reached his quota. 7,000 words, finished. And women have just started. So when you come home, your wife, we want to talk to you. You want to give her your listening ears. So because she hasn't finished her 20,000 words quota. So listen to her. For those of you who are parents, God's will for you is to train up your child in a way that he should go, so when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. I know a lot of parents are concerned about your children's academic progress. But please, please remember that to train up your child in the way that he or she should go, that should be the top of your priority. To train up in the way that he or she should go means to train up your children in the way of the Lord. In other words, spiritual and moral educations should be the top of our priority. You may not agree with me, but that's what the Lord says, that the Word of God says. For those of you who are studying, God's will for you is no different than those who are already working. You may be surprised. Firstly, work hard to please the Lord, not necessarily your parents. I know you need to honor your parents, to please your parents in every way in the Lord, but ultimately, you study hard to please the Lord. Yeah? To please the Lord. Secondly, give credits unto the Lord when you achieve success. And thirdly, by doing so, you become, again, effective witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ as the hard-working, diligent students. For those who are contemplating marriage, as some of you are thinking, God's will for you is clearly revealed in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now, this is one of the many passages that talks about marriage. Now, not the only passage. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, this passage does not necessarily talk about marriage. The principle applies. The principle applies to marriage, to working relationship, to any relationship that you have. You say, what does this verse say? Well, this verse says that a Christian should only should only marry another Christian. So if you are contemplating marriage, you need to pray unto the Lord to marry another Christian. Not someone who is outside of the Lord. But you say, Brother David, what happens when I have more than one choice? Sister A is a Christian. Sister B is also a Christian. They all look good. I like them, both. Well, in that case, you need to make your own choice. Whoever you married, whether A or B, will be within God's will. Remember, the Word of God gives us principles and guidelines as to what kind of people we should marry. Not necessarily which one we should marry, whom we should marry. We should marry a Christian. Yes, if there's more than one person, well, you make your own choice, pray about it. One thing you didn't know about God's leading is that God often leads us one step at a time. One step at a time. We should not expect to know His full plan ahead, 5 years, 10 years ahead of time. He may lead you to take one step, and you take that step, and then He will reveal the next step to take. Just as parents teach his children, especially young children who haven't learned how to walk, we teach them how to walk one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. Our Heavenly Father leads us one step at a time as well. Now we are all children. I know you all know how to walk, but we're all children to God compared to His infinite wisdom. We're all children. We all need to rely on Him closely. If the child walks too fast, he will fumble and fall. This is why we need to keep relying on Him one step at a time, lest we fumble and fall. Remember, don't walk too fast. Don't go ahead of the Lord. Don't walk ahead of your Heavenly Father. Walk behind Him as He leads you. The other things in verse 10, the second verb that we want to consider after to lead is to hold. To hold. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Note that the word hold has the idea of seizing, as if grabbing hold of something precious. Some translators render it as to keep. We have a 4-year-old boy. You know, his name is Caleb. Whenever we got out of a parking lot, I need to make sure that he doesn't wander off and then get hit by a car. So what I do is that I grab hold of his hand tightly and tightly so we walk across the car park. I'm sure you would do the same too for if you have a young child in your home. Likewise, our Heavenly Father takes great delights in holding His beloved children, all of us, seizing us and grabbing hold of us to make sure that we are safe. He loves to protect us. He loves us to go to Him, to rely on Him, just as any parents do. He's not being controlling, by the way. He wants us to be safe and out of danger. So He leads on. He holds on to us securely. Well, the scripture tells us that God always holds us in every place. we are, this does not mean that we are totally immune from danger or hardships or difficulties or physical infirmities. For a purpose unknown to us, He sometimes allows us to go through hardships, physical sufferings, and illnesses. Unfortunately, good things, bad things rather, happen to good people. If you consider yourself as good, although the Lord says, none is good, save one, that is God. When this happens, let us not jump into conclusion that God is no longer with us, and He does not care for us anymore. And don't ask the question, where is God when I need Him most? God is always there for you. For example, the Apostle Paul was afflicted with some kind of physical disability, and in which he caused a thorn in the flesh. We all know. He asked the Lord no less than 3 times to remove the thorn in the flesh from him. And we know what the answer was. The answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. That's from 2 Corinthians 12:7. Now, based on this passage, in verse 7 especially, I believe God has allowed Paul to go through sufferings for 2 purposes. One is to keep him from becoming proud of his spiritual achievements. Secondly, it is to reveal the power of Christ in him through his weakness. Why? So that people would be able to see how Paul is still able to go on serving the Lord despite of his physical infirmities, so that God will be glorified and magnified. His name may be magnified. So we have seen God's leading us in various circumstances of life, and God's holding our hand as a child, protecting us from danger. But there are still things in this life that we still do not understand. What do we do in this case? Well, this brings us to the next step, to the next point. We should trust God. Trust God concerning the things that we do not understand. Trust in Him. Let us read verses 11 to 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What is David trying to say here? He is trying to say is that darkness and light are likened to thee. It makes no difference to the Lord. He knows all things. The things that you do not know is known by Him. The things that seems to be darkest to you is light unto Him. It makes no difference. About 4 months ago, we followed through the news of some Thai boys, who were trapped in the dark cave surrounded by muddy waters. Now, without proper equipment, the visibility was literally zero. And I was kind of pleased and kind of proud to learn that one of the divers, rescue divers, a doctor, is from South Australia. You know that? Yes, some of you know. As for the boys, they must have experienced some of the darkest days, literally, and most terrifying days of their lives. Being confined in a dark cave, surrounded by muddy waters for at least 2 weeks, 14 to 17 days. I can't imagine if I were to go through the same thing as these boys have gone through. He couldn't see anything. It's dark in there. Totally pitch dark. When the psalmist mentioned of darkness, I'm sure the darkness he imagined would not be too far off from the darkness that these Thai boys have experienced. Oftentimes it is the things that we cannot see that cause us to worry. I think that many of us would admit that when we are children, we were afraid of the darkness. Perhaps some of you still do. But as we grow older, hopefully, we outgrew the fear of darkness. However, many of us may be afraid of different kind of darkness. The darkness of unknown. The darkness of unknown. Things which are not known to you. There are perhaps many things that we wish to know, but we do not know. We do not know what the future holds for us. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next year, or next month. But the wonderful thing is that all things are known by God and known to Him. To Him, they are as clear as bright daylight. He knows your future. He knows my future. What you need to do is to trust Him. To trust Him. I said, Brother David, what do you mean by trusting Him? A lot of people told me to trust the Lord. I do not get it. Even if I have to quote to you Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. What do you mean by that? By the way, what does trusting God actually mean? We are often told to trust God by many people. Perhaps I even counsel other people to trust the Lord. In some cases, when people give this counsel, they mean, don't worry, God will eventually place you, give you whatever you want. God will come around your way of your thinking at some point of time. Just hang in there and wait. God will answer your prayer according to your wishes. He will take care of things. But unfortunately, that is not trusting the Lord. To trust is to give, to have a firm conviction that whatever God decides to do is the right thing. It means being at peace with what He does for you, what He decides. And we have to trust that it is the best. It is to accept that God often acts in a way that falls out of our expectation. That different from or even contrary to what you think is best. That's trusting God. Many of us have experienced difficulties that were quite devastating to us at times. In some cases, we have subsequently come to understand why God allowed us to go through certain things. We can see how new opportunities were opened to us. That while not our preference at that time, were in fact the best. In other cases, we still don't understand why things happen the way they happened. But if we have learned to trust God, we can say to Him and to ourselves, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. As the hymn writer wrote, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast made to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. That is trust. That is to trust the Lord. It is the ability to say to yourself and to God, whatever my lot, it is well with my soul. Now the word lot is a good word. You probably do not know what it means. We do not use the word. We use the word lot to say a lot of times. But the word lot, it means the quality of someone's life and experiences that they may have. A lot of words. Lot. Could you have such confidence that God will do what's right in His sight? No matter what happens, despite of the quality of your life and experiences that you may have. In summary, trusting God does not mean thinking that He will eventually give you what you want. No. Trusting God means being at peace with whatever He thinks is best for you. Knowing that He wants it is enough for you, there's peace. And then you could say to yourself, it is well with my soul. First, we have seen God's leading in various circumstances of life. And God's holding of our hand like a child, protecting us from danger. Secondly, we have also learned that we should trust Him, trust in Him concerning the things that we do not understand or know. Thirdly and finally, we must convince that God will do all things well. My third point is, be convinced that God will do all things well. My final point will be short. Be more or less like a summary of the 2 points. So don't be surprised. Verse 13 to 16. For Thou hast possessed my reign. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book in my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Here the psalmist David gave thanks to God and praising God for His marvelous works of creating him at conception. He is praising the Lord for what He has done for him, for making him. David says, God knows. God knows him before he was even conceived. And he says, God knows him when he's being conceived in the mother's womb. And he says, God fashioned him in secret, and He sees him. Dearly beloved, if God knew you before you were even conceived, which He does, if God knew you when you were being conceived, which He does, if God fashioned you in secret and He saw you, which He does, He has a plan for you. He knows what's best for you because He cares for you. He loves you. He has your life all planned out. Therefore, you need to rely on Him, to trust Him. The point I want to make is this. If all the above is true, relying on God to lead you and to keep you. Trusting God, considering the things that you do not know or understand, and be convinced that He will do all things well. I would like to close with an illustration. Years ago, this must be in the late 1800s toward the beginning of 1900s, there was a Christian lady who needed $5. $5 in those days were big. She needed the $5 and didn't know where to get them. She prayed about it. A few minutes later, a stranger came to a door and dropped by and gave her the $5 notes. Here is a $5 notes for you. You wish that it could happen to you, don't you? It would happen. Just pray to Him. She was amazed at the Lord's marvelous answer to her simple prayer. And she said, "I have no way of accounting for this, except to believe that God, in answering my prayer, put it into the heart of this good man to bring me the $5 notes. On the very same day, she wrote a hymn called "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." Her name is Fanny Jane Crosby. "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." That goes back to our point number one. You need to rely on Him to lead you. "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I asked beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. The Lord will do all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." So again I ask you, amidst your ever-changing scenes of life, rely on Him. Rely on God to lead you and to keep you. And to trust Him. Trust in God concerning the things that you do not know or understand. And lastly, trust and be convinced that He will do all things well. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come before You as Your children, O Lord, forgive us our sins. For many times that we do not rely on You and we fail to trust in You. And we are not convinced, O Lord, that You will do all things well. Father, give us the faith and confidence to rely on You and to trust You. And mold us, O Lord, so that we may have a heart and will to be convinced that You will do all things well, despite of all the challenges and difficulties and all the unknown that is before us. Pray that You will be Your people today and lead them and guide them and keep them, O Lord, with Thy grace and mercy. Father, I pray that You will bless this congregation and bless them abundantly in the years and decades to come. And pray now all this in Jesus' name. Amen.